The first reading is Exodus 16, verses 2 to 15. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat round pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out here into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumblings against him. Who are we that we should grumble against you? Moses also said, "You will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening, and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumblings against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses told Aaron, "Say to the entire Israelite community, 'Come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumblings.'" While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked towards the desert, and there was glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. The Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumblings of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God." That evening quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat." This is the word of the Lord. In the second reading, Yvonne, thank you.
Second reading is taken from Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 to 16. It's the parable of the workers in the vineyard. "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. He went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, 'Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?' 'Because no one has hired us,' they answered. He said to them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first.' The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. So when those came who had hired first, they expected to receive more, but each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. 'Those who were hired last worked only 1 hour,' they said, 'and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day.' But he answered one of them, 'I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. This is the word of the Lord.
And as we invite Helen up, I'd just like to say a quick prayer for Helen. Sovereign Father, we lift Helen up to you now, and we ask that your words become her words, your voice becomes her voice, and your heart becomes her heart. And we have understanding of Helen says to us. We lift that up in your glorious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Tim. Let's remove the face covering. Just wanted to echo Tim's thanks to Mark and Susie and Zoe's beautiful singing this morning. A real, real blessing to be able to sit here and worship behind my mask. I did like that, actually. As an introvert, it's quite nice to be able to sit behind a mask and worship. Probably not something that's heard. So I've entitled this talk this morning, Grumbling and Complaining. In Exodus 16, verse 2, we read, "In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And Moses said to them in verse 8, 'Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord.'" In Matthew 20, verse 11, we read, "When they received it," that is their wages, "they began to grumble against the landowner." In Exodus, in spite of their miraculous delivery from slavery, life in Egypt still held an attraction for the Israelites. This is one of three incidents in which they grumbled, revealing their remarkable unwillingness to trust and obey God. All three incidents focused on a lack of food or water. Here, the cruelty and suffering they had experienced in Egypt was quickly forgotten when the people became hungry. Would I have been any different, I asked myself. It's worth noting that the people thought they were grumbling at Moses and Aaron, but they were quickly reminded that they were grumbling against the Lord. In Matthew's account of the workers in the vineyard, in a society with no welfare provision or trade unions, where unemployment meant starvation, the action of the landowner in employing extra workers whom he did not really need so late in the day was an act of generosity. But even more extraordinary was the rate of pay, which made no economic sense and understandably provoked grumbling among those who felt unfairly treated. Do I think it was fair? I asked myself. What we're hearing are accounts of our own human nature when faced with a sense of unfairness or not getting what we think we deserve compared with others. Over 2,000 years later, we, as human beings, have not changed. Over the last 20 years, secular therapies are now providing help for our human nature. Ian spoke last week about forgiveness. He said, "Forgiveness is the principal decision to give up your justifiable right to revenge." Secular therapy also encourages forgiveness, but they would tend to call it choosing acceptance. Other examples are laughter therapy, generosity therapy, and I found complaining therapy. They're all tapping into spiritual laws which are in operation whether we're aware of them or not. I noticed one organization offering 5 ways to stop complaining, and they introduced them as a few tried and tested ways that will stop you complaining, and they offered meditation classes for each one. The first one is by being grateful for your situation in life and what you already have, a glass half full mentality. The second one is by saying no more often, not allowing ourselves to be made to feel guilty. The third one was by accepting that change is constant and finding ways to embrace it. The fourth one was by believing in yourself. You understand that life will never be completely fair and you are ready to go after what you want. And the last one, by releasing your worries, understanding that worry won't change what is happening. These are all really good attitudes. I don't think we'd disagree. But the problem with self-help therapies is that they use our own strength and eventually let us down. In the final analysis, no one knows what any of us copes with in our everyday lives. We all have different characters and natural skills, and only God knows our strengths and weaknesses. If we don't complain about the unfairness of our own situation, we may still find ourselves complaining about other people who are not fulfilling our expectations of them. Keeping going and keeping busy and trying to be positive in our own strength is temporary. And before we realize it, we're wearing ourselves out. Joel Osteen tells a light-hearted story about a lady complaining to God about everything that went wrong that day. She said, "God, why did you let so many bad things happen to me? My alarm didn't go off, so I was late for work. At lunch, they made the wrong sandwich and I had to send it back. Driving home, my mobile phone cut out right in the middle of the conversation. And to top it all, when I got home, I wanted to put my feet in the foot massager and it wouldn't turn on. Nothing went right today." God said to her, "All right, let me go down the list. Your alarm didn't go off because there was a drunk driver on the road. I delayed you on purpose so you wouldn't be harmed. You had to send your sandwich back because the first person who made it wasn't feeling well, and I didn't want you to catch what they had, so I had someone else make you another one. The phone call that cut out on the way home, well, that person was about to fill you with gossip, and I didn't want you to be contaminated, so I cut it off. And the foot massager, it had a short circuit in it. If you had turned it on, it would have given you a power cut, and I didn't think you would want to sit around in the dark all night." Joel Osteen goes on to say, "Could it be that what is frustrating you is really the hand of God? Could it be that he is behind the scenes doing things that you cannot see, but it's for your good? He's protecting you, guiding you, positioning you. Nothing happens without God's permission. We're not always going to understand it. This is when we have to trust him." We see in the Exodus story that despite the grumbling, God nevertheless remained committed to his people. He provided them with meat and bread. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat." Equally, in the parable of the workers in the vineyard, it was not unfair. No one was underpaid. It was just that some were treated with unreasonable generosity. That is what the kingdom of heaven is like. God's grace is not limited by our ideas of fairness. His gifts are far beyond what we can deserve. But like the elder brother in the story of the prodigal son, we find it hard to abandon our human scale of values, especially when comparing ourselves with others. We find it hard to accept the large-heartedness of God to those we regard as undeserving. In the New Testament, Jesus compares himself with the manna divinely provided in the wilderness. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give you for the life of the world. A Christian friend shared earlier in the week that he had become aware that he was complaining quite a lot when a passage in Isaiah pulled him up short. It's from Isaiah 40, verses 27 to 31. It begins, "Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God?" At this point, he said, he stopped. And he put his own name into the verses. So I will do the same. Why do you complain, Helen? Why do you say, Helen, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. And his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And so we're just going to take a moment now to come into an awareness of that place of the presence of God, where we take our eyes off ourselves and focus on Jesus, the bread of life, given for us. In the Message version of the Bible, in Matthew 11, 28-30, Jesus says to you this morning, are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me and watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you will learn to live freely and lightly. Amen.